shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network. The only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I recap the AFC Championship game and talk Super Bowl 57. Joe, the Chiefs are headed to the promised land for the third time in 4 years.
Jeff, we know how hard it is to get back there. You know, we've talked about the stat before that, you know, there's only been one, you know, returning or back-to-back Super Bowl winner in the last 20 years, and that was the Dynasty Patriots. So we know how hard it is. I mean, and amazing that we've done getting there three times in 4 years. So pretty awesome feat. It says a lot about the team, especially when you look at the consistency that has been there, but then also the non-consistency or lack of consistency that has been there, right? When you think about some of the personnel changes, the revamped O-line, revamped receiving core, you know, revamped defense. I mean, up and down the roster, you know, it's like almost like a new team, except for some of the core, obviously Patrick, Travis, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Steve Spagnuolo. So, you know, yeah, there's some consistency there. But there's also a lot of change. So really, really hard to do that. And amazing that we're going to get to experience this, you know, one more time, which is just awesome. And I'm sure the fans are over the moon right now.
And it's also amazing. It pretty much sets up the Joe Valerio Bowl. Joe, you know, you played for the Chiefs, but you grew up in Philadelphia, still live there. So Joe, you know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for a team to win in a quick game so I can file my story on time. That's like a true grizzled sports writer. Joe, who you got in the Joe Valerio Bowl? Where's your heart? Where's your heart leaning?
Yeah, well, you know, funny, Jeff, I'm gonna pull a Joe Montana when the 49ers were in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and you know, he kind of pulled the whole I'm rooting for the team in red, right? Which he couldn't lose. And I don't feel like I can lose in this, right? I mean, look, Do I have mixed, allegiances? Of course I do, right? I mean, who wouldn't, right? I don't think any fan, Kansas City or Philadelphia, would fault me for having a little bit of a mixed allegiance, right? I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia. It was the team I watched growing up, just like you growing up in Kansas City and watching mm-hmm. the Chiefs your whole life and rooting for them. I mean, that's the team that I grew up with. And I live here in Philadelphia. However, I played for the Chiefs. You know, the organization holds a place near and dear in my heart. We cover them on our podcast. So, you know, I'm going to go right down Broadway and say I can't lose either way. Right, Jeff? I just want it to be a great game. And I am so pumped about my expectations for this game outside of the football that's going to be played. I have a very good feeling, Jeff, that this is going to be a game where two well-respected teams with two well-respected fan bases who are really not trash talkers are going to come together on Super Bowl Sunday. Because when you look at the fan base in Philadelphia, while they're a very gritty bunch, you know, and everybody knows that about Philadelphia fans, they're gritty. Heck, the mascot for the Flyers' name is Gritty.
Literally gritty.
Gritty. And they're rough. They're rough fans. You know, you go to the stadium, it's I'm not saying it's not a friendly place, but it's rough, you know, rough to go there as a visiting fan. If you act up, you know, if you go there and you do your thing, people will generally leave you alone. But they're also a respectful bunch that respects good teams, both coming into Lincoln Financial Field or playing on neutral fields, as we're going to be playing in the Super Bowl in Arizona. They're good about really respecting good teams who play hard and are just as gritty as they are, which the Chiefs are. And the Chiefs, that organization speaks for itself from top to bottom, starting with the Hunt family and what an unbelievable, respectful organization they are. So I really don't think we're going to see a lot of trash talking. I really don't. I think, of course, I would expect fans to say, we're going to beat you, we're going to win, and this is why. That's part of being a fan. But I really doubt that we're going to see anything escalate to the level that we saw with the Bengals and, you know, the mayor and some of the stuff that was – you know, kind of came out after the game. I'm not really big into the trash talk, and I don't like it. You know, win with your pads, win with your helmet, win with, you know, the way you block and tackle and throw and catch. You know, you don't win games, you know, with bulletin board material.
Speaking of Mayor Joe, with that great answer of who you're rooting for, I think you could have some political aspirations in your future. Yeah, this is a very
very, very politically correct answer, wasn't it, Jeff? I can't lose with this game. But, you know, look, I'm sure I'm going to have my ups and downs and who I'm going to want to see win this game for various reasons. And I have lots of reasons on both sides of the ball.
It's very cool. You mentioned how Joe Montana said the team in red, it was fun. The Chiefs' Super Bowl victory against the 49ers, I was there and I was able to ask him that question, and he got like a little smirk. I don't know if you saw that smirk when you were playing with him, and he answered kind of slyly, sarcastically, to the team in red. Joe, tell the fans too, you had an interesting experience watching this game that we're after we're talking about the story, we'll get into the AFC Championship game and preview the Super Bowl, because the AFC Championship game, a great game, really well played. Both teams were playing so hard and so intensely, and it was gripping and intense. And as the game came down the wire, you had an interesting experience.
I did, Jeff. So we were in Miami for work, and you know, it wasn't my favorite thing to have to be doing during championship weekend, especially with, you know, my hometown Eagles and my team, the Chiefs, both in the conference championships. But we were able to watch. We were on a late flight, which worked out really well. And we were coming back to Philadelphia. Our flight wasn't until 9, and it didn't actually take off until about 9:30. It was delayed a little, just a tiny little bit. Caught all of the Eagles game at a local sports bar in Miami near the hotel where we were staying, and started to watch a little of the Chiefs game. And then we put it on our phones, and we watched all the way up to the airport. It was on in the airport. Just had to put the phone down for a quick second as we were going through security, but we made it through security easy. Got right back to the game. Didn't miss really anything at all. Go for takeoff. Hit the on air, you know, in plane free TV, watching the game. Oh, the whole plane was watching, by the way. I could see everybody had their iPads, their phones, computers. Everybody's watching the game. Jeff, with 2 minutes left in the game, the airplane lost internet service, which was crazy. So it was just when the Bengals got the ball from the Chiefs punt with, you know, two-ish minutes left. However, I forget exactly how much time was left when the Bengals took over the ball, you know, deep in their territory to go for their what would have been or could have been their game-winning drive when it was 2020, and we get no internet. And it's like, what? And people were scrambling. You could see people talking to each other. How do I get on? What do I do this? Why is the game on? And everybody's going back and forth. And I'm like, oh, man. First of all, and then I'm thinking, all right, hey, at the very least, I've got NFL Plus, and, you know, we'll be able to watch the rest of the game at some point, you know, during the trip. But with so the internet comes back on, and all of a sudden everybody goes, oh, there was like a hush fell over the plane. And then everybody's back on their phones, and it's Harrison Butker lining up for the game-winning field goal. And we're like, what the heck just happened? Like, how did we go from the Bengals going for what could have been their game-winning drive with, you know, two or a little less time left, 2 minutes or less time left in the game, to now the Chiefs kicking the game-winning field goal 2020? And was like, what happened? What happened? So obviously was able to get onto NFL Plus as soon as the game ended, after we watched all the post-game hype, and then watched that last drive or lack of drive by the Bengals and having to turn the ball over to the Chiefs. Then the amazing Sky Moore punt return, you know, the Patrick scramble, the field goal, and just, you know, an amazing ending to that game. And I think it lived up to its billing for sure.
Definitely did. Now, Joe, I'm curious, aside from just the frustration not being able to watch it and being out of your control, I'm curious because the Bengals got the ball back with 2:30 left.
Was 2:30? Yeah.
2:30. And it really was 2 minutes because they ran one play. I'm looking at the play by play now.
Yeah.
They ran one play and then a 2 minute warning. So it's really, and they were on the six. So they had the ball on the 16, first and 10 from the 16 with 2 minutes. So it really was 2 minutes. But I thought the Chiefs were going to lose at that point. I thought Burrow is so good in these situations. Did you think when it when the feed went out, the Wi-Fi went out. Well, what did you think the Bengals were going to win this game?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, barring something obviously magical happening, like, you know, the 13-second play, Buffalo, mm-hmm. you know, if Patrick could recreate and the offense could recreate that magic. Yeah, I mean, you had to think that it kind of whoever was going to have the ball last in this game was going to win it. I mean, that's really so I'm thinking, all right, the Bengals, you know, they were able to move the ball pretty decently. I think we talked about it all week, how this, you know, this team or the defense really was really squarely holding the pressure of this game on their shoulders. And we kind of thought that. I was really proud of myself. The fact that I think my prediction was 21-20, the Chiefs would win. So I was really awfully close.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, I mean, 23-20 is not a bad scoring game in the NFL, but it's still a relatively low scoring game for both of these teams. And I felt like the defense really, you know, I give them a lot of credit. You know, as much as the magic of Patrick playing hurt and being able to get that last drive and get in field goal range, I mean, I think the defense really, you know, put the game on their shoulders and have to get the lion's share of credit for winning this game. I really do. Well, and I think 100%. Patrick Mahomes and Travis and all the offensive players would probably say the same. You know, there was a couple of things that were a little frustrating in this game. You know, the taunting call, you know, was one that really stuck with me with Andrew Wiley's taunting call, because I think that because it just set the Chiefs back 15 yards back to where they, you know, were starting to do some things they didn't need to do. And then Patrick, you know, fumbles the ball after he, you know, bobbled that snap. And it just like, I was like, oh, Andrew, like, come on, like, linemen don't taunt. Linemen just get up and go and keep doing it, you know, like that was it. Because that was my first thing is I don't want that to lose the mm-hmm. game. And then all of a sudden I'm watching the push out of bounds. I'm going, wow, that just lost them the game. And it's like, oh, like these silly mistakes can really cost you. And it's a cautionary tale to players and young players who play this game in little league and high school and college. Like you can't let mistakes like that. Those are errors. They're not errors of action. You know, errors of action are, you know, it's loud. You jump off sides. I get it. You know, you're going against guys like Chris Jones, Frank Clark, you know, you're going against these great players. Of course, you're going to miss a block or miss a tackle or drop a ball in the end zone. Like that stuff happens. That's because you're playing the game. But like pushing a guy out of bounds and taunting, like, oh, like you don't want those, even missing a field goal. You can't blame somebody for missing a field goal. Come on. Right. It's hard. It's a little tiny oblong ball that you got to kick through, you know, uprights 40 yards away. But man, to lose a game for lack of concentration or doing something like that, it was sticking in my craw. And I was like, thank God that we pulled this game out. Cause I didn't want, you know, that to be the last thing that people remembered about Andrew Wiley was, you know, kind of like costing the Chiefs that 15 yards that kind of made them fumble. And yeah, it was a huge play. And so, you know, same thing on the other side of the ball with the push out of bounds, right? Think about how differently that is if Harrison's got to kick a 50 plus yarder and how much different that is.
Would have been 60 in that cold. That would have been a very possibly as good as he is different situation. Well, more on the AFC Championship game and also the upcoming Super Bowl. But first, Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. It's live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. Bet Online is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Joe, you made such a good point about the defense coming up. That was something you predicted. But yeah, I thought really, you know, the story of the game is everyone's going to talk about Mahomes and gutting it out on that angle for obvious reasons. We talked about Chris Jones. He had not had a postseason sack, which I really thought was overrated. It's not like he had played great in the postseason, especially their Super Bowl victory with all those pass deflections, especially in the fourth quarter. But and the way it had fueled him all season, not being able to sack Burrow last year, he was really a key. He was dominant all game. We talked about the three keys, you know, win the turnover battle. The Bengals had been so good about eliminating it. They did that. Take advantage of the Bengals beat up line. They certainly did that. The Bengals had gotten off to such hot starts in the playoffs, getting up on every team they played, Ravens, Bills, and even the Chiefs in the regular season, they got up ahead. The Chiefs shut them out in the first quarter. One thing I also want to touch on, Joe, is amazing is Patrick Mahomes' performance was on that injured ankle. I might have been more impressed of what he was doing with the weapons he had. Even if he was healthy, they were down to three receivers, including a rookie, Sky Moore, and a practice squatter, Marcus Kemp, who's been on the team only half the year this year. I mean, you had Tony out, you had Hardman out, you had our boy Justin Watson was sick and missed the game. Juju went out. That was so impressive.
Yeah, that you're right. I mean, he was injured in physically, and he was also injured in roster.
Like, yeah,
he
right.
Overcame a lot right. of air quote injuries, and you know that was Herculean. You know what he was able to do, and I think what it is really, it's a testament to the system, right? It's a testament to Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy on offense finding players that they build a playbook around, and you know, they don't try to, like I've said this, I've used this term before, they don't try to just jam square pegs into round holes. They get the right people and they build the playbook around those players up and down the roster, and everybody seems to fit into the system because they're finding players whose talent matches the system, and they're finding a system that matches the player's talent. And it's that marriage of those two philosophies, I think, that are really critical to this team's success. I'm not going to say, you know, it's plug and play, but it makes it a lot easier, right? When you can have players who understand the system, and Patrick can find those players, and they're not relying on exorbitant amount of speed. They're not relying on too much power. They're just relying on the talent of their players. And I that's a great point, Jeff, that they did that with a really, really skeleton crew, to use that term. And I was amazed because it could have gone so poorly. Look at just what happened on the other side of the conference in the NFC with the 49ers. What a disaster, mm-hmm. right? You know, that Brock Purdy is, you know, doing his thing, and man, everybody's thinking he's the next, you know, could be the next Joe Burrow, right? Or it could be the next, maybe even Patrick Mahomes to a certain degree.
I mean, Tom Brady analogy really works. I'm not saying he was going to be as good as he was and win seven Super Bowls, but coming in for injury, being such a late drafted guy, last pick, you know?
And you know, so you watch what happened, and all of a sudden, he's out, and then all of a sudden their fourth string quarterback is out. Next thing you know, Christian McCaffrey's, you know, threatening to play him at quarterback, and I think he did take some snaps, and Purdy goes back in. Like, that's a system that, you know, that system, like, relies on talent, right? Once they had that rash of injuries, you know, it just didn't seem like it was going to work for the 49ers. It was just one disaster after another. The other thing too, Jeff, and you know, we'll get back obviously to Chris Jones and his impact about that whole sack thing. You know, what I've been most proud about Chris Jones is, and this defense, is his selfless play as it relates to getting sacks, because it's easy to just try to pin your ears back and go get sacks, but that's not the way quarterbacks are rushed anymore. Like, if you want to effectively rush a quarterback, you have to be very disciplined these days. You can't, like, I was so worried that, you know, Joe Burrow was going to just find those pockets within the pocket that he's really good at doing. And that's what these new age quarterbacks are so darn good at. Mm-hmm. They find those pockets. And if you don't have a disciplined rush that gets up into the face of these quarterbacks, and you give them that extra second or two when they just scurry up into the pocket over the guard or tackle and find that little sliver of space, You can't do that anymore. Quarterbacks don't just stand back there like the Statue of Liberty anymore. You know, they move, and then it's not like they're scrambling. It's not like we're back in the days of Fran Tarkington. There's a name from the past, right? Like just dodge, scrambling around and running around. It's not that kind of scrambling these quarterbacks do anymore. It's very prescriptive, precise scramble into the pocket that they are able to do. And Chris Jones, he just takes away that whole middle. And it's almost, it's kind of like, I guess the best analogy is, you know, we've used the term mush rush before, but mm-hmm. it's like you're almost spying with your whole defense, right? You're almost spying with your whole defensive line. You're spying the quarterback. You're not just going after him. You're like spying him and figuring out where he's going. And it seems to be effective. And the Chiefs really had it down in this game. So yeah, amazing job by the defense. Patrick Mahomes, Herculean effort on the injury. Travis Kelce shows up injured and comes back and plays, you know, as a game time decision. I just think, but Jeff, we talked about this. I'm going to have to eat a little bit of crow in that we kind of kept saying, well, special teams doesn't want their name in the paper. Man, I'll tell you.
And you called it, Joe. You said this game on our last pod was the one game they neither the name in the paper, and you nailed it. Butker, game winner. And Joe, what I bet you're going to talk about is Sky Moore. I was so critical of the Chiefs all year for sticking with him. That might have paid off. That might have given him, show that they still had confidence in him. And man, I mean, talk about huge plays. Without his punt return, I don't think the Chiefs win this. Because one other note, Joe, that I really think the Chiefs were running on fumes. They had so many injuries. You know, I thought it got to the point that you could see that Mahomes' ankle was getting a little bit worse. I thought the Bengals' defense at that point was kind of outplaying the Chiefs' offense. So that punt return with the Chiefs' offense on fumes, so big.
Yeah, it was huge. Think about the amount of yards that took off. I mean, you know, and the time that you don't have in that point in the game to be playing around, right? We lost a challenge and we're losing timeouts and, you know, different things like that were kind of playing against us. And, you know, it takes time to get the ball up the field. And that just, you know, that was a 27-yard return, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, something like that. I mean, you know, you can't put a price tag on 27 yards in one play like that, because when you're running out of time, right? Because you limit yourself when you're up against it. You don't have your full three timeouts, right? You got to head towards the sideline, right? Because you want to get guys out of bounds. So, you know, the Bengals would have been able to really force players, you know, to the outside and not really, you know, it's not that you can't cover the middle of the field. We've seen Travis do that in the 13-second game, right, against Buffalo. But, you know, you got to stay away from the middle of the field. You can't run the ball. You know, you got to pass it. You got to stay to the outside, trying to get guys out of bounds. And if something's not there, you got to throw the ball away so you don't lose more time on the clock with a pass over the middle and the guy gets tackled inside the sideline. So, yeah, I mean, it was that was humongous, that return. And of course, you know, Harrison Butker, you know, being on point and being ready for that in that cold weather. It's freezing cold, and which is never easy. And, you know, I've been in those games, you know, I think back to, I get, you know, cold sweats and wake up with a cold sweat sometimes when I think about that game against Indy where we missed those three field goals and, you know, we lost 10-7 and, you know, it was minus 10 with the wind chill. And like, it's hard to kick in that weather. So, yeah, I mean, special teams really stepped up. No turnovers in special teams, nothing, no big penalties, nothing to really cause. So they stayed their name, they kept their name out of the paper until just the right time in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Well, you know, I want to say something about, there's been a lot of talk online about the officiating. I think the Bengals were, they got hosed on a couple calls, but I think the thing that was the most important call, the Osai late hit on Mahomes, was a legitimate call, and that was the most significant one. And it was ridiculous that third down play, they stopped the Chiefs. The refs just let that play go on, but you know they ended up stopping them anyhow. So I didn't think that had a bearing on it. Anyhow, that's my 2 cents on that. Yes, I think, and I also think officiating has actually been bad throughout the season. So I think it's kind of just, you know, consistent with what we had.
Yeah, I mean, it's if there's ever a petition year to make these referees full-time and tell them to stop, to quit their day jobs, get on a full-time salary, pay them whatever you want to pay them. You know, the NFL turns out mega billions of dollars a year. Come on, like, you know, you can pay guys, you know, Patrick Mahomes has a $500 million contract, right? And he's not even alone anymore in some of these big contracts, yeah. $300-400 million contracts. Like, if you're going to put, you know, whatever the salary cap, I forget what it is, $100 million or whatever, you got, you know, each team gets to spend, you know, $100 million a year, whatever the new cap is, right? So you got $200 million out on the field on any given Sunday in any given game times 32 or 16 games, right? So guys, you know, what are we doing here? Pay these referees a ton of money to manage these games, make them go to film study, make them work out in the off season, make them lift weights and run and be in shape and watch film and go to training camp and mini camps and just make it a full-time job. I mean, come on, like, you know, the NFL can't afford the bad PR anymore because it's getting ridiculous. So I mean, that's my rant for the day on that sort of how I feel about it.
And Joe, we'll preview the Super Bowl obviously more next week when we'll get into that. So many storylines, the Andy Reid Bowl. The Kelce is playing together. Nick Sirianni used to be in Kansas City, and Andy Reid actually brought David Culley, who was a former Texans coach. The Texans have just hired a new coach here in DeMaceo Ryans. Anyhow, so there's that relationship, and of course the Joe Valerio Bowl. But Joe, in just about a minute here, so give us kind of your first blush, your thoughts of this matchup, this game.
Yeah, I think they're very complementary teams. I think they both have scrappy defenses, smart defenses, great offensive lines, great defensive lines. There's really not a weakness on either side of the ball that the other team will take advantage of that is a big mismatch. I don't think we're going to see a lot of mismatches. That's my personal opinion. I think they have very similar running backs, right? When you look at the type of running backs, there's no Derrick Henry, there's no Jamal Charles. You know, there's no, you know, Walter Payton, you know, out there that's, you know, going to, you know, go crazy in the run game. They're all solid running backs, but there's no big standouts there. Both have very good receiving cores, assuming everybody's healthy. The thing is, Jeff, that I will say that I am concerned about is a strong word for the Chiefs is the RPO. Mm-hmm. It's really Jalen Hurts. It's what he's able to do, especially with this last game, because I watched him in the 49ers game, and every time he did the run pass option, when he did keep the ball, he ran to the outside. So he could either slide or get out of bounds. And generally he ran to the side that was opposite his bad shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that he's going to be all out in this game. It's the Super Bowl. He's not going to be worried about the shoulder. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have their full playbook at their disposal. And that to me is the most dangerous thing the Eagles do that, you know, that will counteract the magic of Mahomes is Jalen Hurts' ability to run the RPO very effectively, and he finds creases, and it allows a lot of creases to be made because it holds the D-line, it holds the linebackers, and to a certain degree, it even holds the safeties. And I think that is the thing that the Eagles the Chiefs are going to have to work on the most against the Eagles is the RPO. And that's the thing that differentiates. Chiefs have Mahomes. Eagles have the RPO and Jalen Hurts. And I think those are two different things that are going to have to be countered by either team.
You mentioned how good a job Chris Jones did in his pass rush discipline against Joe Burrow. They're certainly going to need that against Jalen Hurts. And the Eagles really are going to need that RPO game to be good and effective, to run the ball, to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. And they really need to win time of possession in this one. If you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.